Okay, so we are right at the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis on 12b. If you're in the text of the Gemara, that is the second middle-sized line in the right where the Mishnah starts. So the if you remember last time, the Mishnah that we had been dealing with was about, let's say it hadn't rained, and there were a series of fasts that they took upon themselves, or that were decreed, I should say, in order to allow the rain to come. So this Mishnah picks up at the case in which the rain still has not come. So as a result, they're going to have more fasts, and then we'll see it still won't come, and they're going to have even more fasts. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Again, good Beis Amud Beis Maseches Tainis. Avru Elu Velo Nanu. If the first three fasts that were decreed, if they passed and they were not answered, meaning the rain had not fallen yet, based in Gozrin Gimel Tanios Acheros Alatzibor. So the Beis Din, they would the courts would decree three more fasts, and David, for those of us who were not here last time, so the three fasts that they're referring to, they would always have a Monday, Thursday, Monday sequence. So, or at least for the first series, and then maybe they could be Thursday, Monday, Thursday, but whatever it is, it would only be on those 2 days. So again, if the first set of three had passed and they were not answered, there was no rain that fell, so the basin would decree three more fasts on the congregation. And what would happen? Ochlin v'shosin mib'od yom. They would eat and drink for the rest of the day until the fast, meaning until sundown. But once sundown came, they would stop eating. So they would fast that night as well. The osrin v'melacha, and not only that, but they were also prohibited from doing any work. For rechitza, they couldn't wash themselves. For vasicha, they couldn't anoint themselves with oil. For ne'ilas hasanzel, they couldn't wear shoes, leather shoes. For tashmish hamitza, they couldn't have marital relations. And not only all that, but v'no alin es hamerchatzos. They would lock up the bathhouses to make sure really that no one was going to wash themselves. We'll have to see. We'll see the Gemara. We'll talk about what does it mean they're going to lock up the bathhouses. We already said you can't wash yourself, so what are you adding by saying you're going to lock up the bathhouse? We'll see in the Gemara in a little bit. So moreover, the Gemara says Avru Elu, so let's say these next three fasts that we just mentioned, so they passed V'lo Nanu, they still weren't answered, so now we had a total of six fasts, three fasts that were decreed in the previous Mishnah and three fasts that were decreed in this Mishnah, so all six of these have now passed and still V'lo Nanu, still they have not been answered and rain has not fallen. So based in Gozrin Alehan Od Sheva, so now based in said, okay, so the first three didn't work, the second three didn't work, we're going to give you seven more fasts to fast, and hopefully that will work, and then rain will fall as a result. Shehin Yud Gimel Tanios Al Tzibor, which will bring us to a total of 13. Those of us in high math, 3 plus 3 plus 7 equals 13, right? Is that true? Yeah? No, is that 7? Yeah, that's true, yeah.
3 plus 7.
Yeah, okay, you guys all agree. Okay, good. So the Mishnah's math is right, that checks out. So that brings us to a total of 13 fasts that they decreed on the Tzibor. Hare Elu Yeseros al Harishonos. So these last seven fasts, they were extra, they were like more stringent than the first one. Shebe Elu Masriyan v'no'alan esachanoyos, because in these fasts, that these last seven, they would cry out, which we'll have to see in a little bit, I think, next week, God willing, but they would cry out during these fasts. We'll define what crying out means, and they would also not just lock up the bathhouses, but they would also lock up the stores. They wouldn't even have the stores open. B'sheni matin em chashecha. So how would they lock the stores? Well, on Monday they would already have the stores partially open. They weren't really fully closed; they were partially open. Why? So that people can buy food towards the end of the day, at the very least, for their breakfasts. V'chamishi mutaran mibnei kibud haShabbos. And on the fifth day of the weekend, on Thursday, they would open up the stores entirely because of a Kavod Shabbos, because we know Shabbos is coming. We're so happy it's coming on just a 24 hours. Once Thursday night comes, we have 24 hours till Shabbos. So they say, okay, we'll open up the stores on Thursday so that people can do their shopping for Shabbos. Many people have the custom nowadays to do their shopping on Thursday for Shabbos. So that's why they would keep their stores open on Thursday. So really, the stores at the end of the day would only be closed on Monday, and really they'd partially open at least towards the end of the day, and on Thursday they'd be totally open. Avru Elu Velo Nanu. So now the first three fasts came and went, the second three fasts came and went, and the next seven fasts came and went. So all 13 fasts came and passed, and they still were not answered. Still no rain had fallen. What did they do as a result? Mimat in Bimas of Matzah, and they would limit their business. Bibinyan, they would limit their building. Uvinatia, they wouldn't be planting, or they would limit their planting. Be'irus and Uvinisuin, they would limit the engagements and the marriages. Uvashela shalom bein adam lechaveru, and they would limit their greeting one another. They wouldn't greet each other. Kibnei adam hanezufin lemakom. Why were they acting like this? Well, they were acting like people who have been pushed away almost from by God. That's how they would act, because they were essentially being pushed away from God, because still rain had not fallen yet. Hayechidim, and the special individual ones. They would fast until Nisan was over. Okay, so now Nisan passed, and still, I guess, there was no rain. So Yatz Nisan, if Nisan did pass, the Jewish month of Nisan passed, right? That's the end of this week. Iyar is coming, God willing, at the end of this week. So Nisan, but thank God we had rain. Once Nisan passed, v'yardu geshamim, and rain falls after Nisan, simen klala, that's going to be a bad sign, a bad omen. Shenemar, halo ketzir chitim hayom megomer. So that's actually a pasuk that we had quoted from Shmuel, that he said to the Jewish people. This goes all the way back to Beis and Beis, when we quoted this pasuk for the first time in the Masechta, and that is that the Jewish people asked for a king, and Shmuel said, you know what I'm going to do to punish you for asking for a king? Said a terrible thing you did. I'm going to ask for it to rain in the wheat harvest season. Raining in the wheat harvest season means raining like right after Nisan, and we see that that would be a punishment for it to have rained then. So in other words, so basically this pasuk proves that it would be a bad sign for it to rain after Nisan, and that's what we're trying to prove over here, that it would be bad if it rained after Nisan, and that's the case. Essentially, the Mishnah is saying the entire season passed, it did not rain, Nisan came and went, and then it rained, so that would be a bad sign. How do we know it's a bad sign? We see that from this verse that we just said in Shmuel, that again, halok etzir chitim hayom, that is not the wheat harvest today, but again, he's going to ask for it to rain as a punishment. Okay, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara now goes further. Bishlama kulu isbehu tanug rechitza v'sicha v'tashmish amita av amalacha tsaru. So we limited all these things. We said that when the time came to it, as the fast would go up, the severity of the restrictions would go up as well. So we said that what would happen? Well, you aren't allowed to do, at one point, that the fast would get so severe that you can't wash yourself, you can't anoint yourself, you can't have marital relations, all these things you can't do. Why can't you do it? Because there is an enjoyment, there's a tanug, there's an enjoyment in it, but malacha, working, that's a tsar, that's a pain. So says the Gemara, I understand why these things are prohibited, because they have an enjoyment to them, and therefore you can't do them because you're trying to pain yourself, you afflict yourself. But when it comes to work, that's a pain and it's in and of itself. So why do you stop yourself from doing work? So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yirmiya, Bar Abba, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Kitshut Som Kiru Atzara. The pasuk says that prepare a fast, call a gathering, and assemble the elders. So what this pasuk basically tells us is ki atzeres, that a fast day is like the holiday of atzeres. What is the holiday of atzeres? So Rashi explains that atzeres can mean two things. It can mean shvuas, that's called atzeres, at least from the Torah's perspective, ushmini atzeres. And also we know shmini atzeres, the eighth day right after Sukkot. So that's also considered, that's also called atzeres. So basically a fast is compared to this holiday of Atzeres. Ma Atzeres, Aser Basias Malcha. So therefore, the Gemara says that just like on the holiday of Atzeres, it's prohibited to do Malacha. Aftainis, so too on a fast day, Aser Basias Malacha, it's also prohibited to do a Malacha. So basically, what the Gemara says is that true, we are prohibited to do certain things that would imply a level of enjoyment. However, we also prohibit even working, which does seem to have some level of pain to it, but we prohibit it because the Pasuk shows us that on a fast day, fast day is like the holiday of Atzeres, so therefore if you can't work on the Atzeres, therefore you should not be able to work on the fast as well. Says the Gemara, Ima Atzeres Meorta Aftanis Nami Meorta. So it's a little unclear at what point the Gemara makes this jump, but the implication seems to be clear, and that is that the work is only prohibited during the daytime. It's permitted to work at night, but you just cannot work once the daytime of the fast comes. So says the Gemara, if in the nighttime of Atzeres, of the holiday of Atzeres, you can't do work, so too at the nighttime of the Tainus, a person should not be doing any work. Why are we only prohibited from doing work at the beginning of the day for the Tainus, for the fast? But when it comes to the holiday in which we learn the prohibition of not working in the first place from, why is it that again, why on the holiday do we start prohibiting the work at night, and for the fast we start prohibiting it during the day, if the fast's prohibition of work is learned out from the holiday itself? So Amar Rebbe, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Ledidi Mefarshali. So Rabbi Zeira says it was explained to me as follows. Mine de Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, by Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba himself. Amar Kra Isvu Zakenim. The Pasuk says, why is it that we specifically prohibit work only during the day and not at night? Because the Pasuk specifically says to assemble the elders. So, which means that this prohibition of work is going to be similar to the gathering of the elders. That what? Zumya Asifa Zakenim. It's similar to this gathering of elders. Ma asifas zakinim bayom, that just like the elders really gather during the day, atzom nami bayom, so too the gathering comparison happens for the fast day only during the day, which means essentially that on the fast day the prohibition of work will only happen during the day itself, not at night. The ema mitihira, so says the Gemara, well, okay, so if that's really the case, really gatherings technically don't take place in the morning, which is when you started prohibiting the work on the fast, but they actually take place in the afternoon. So really the prohibition for work on the fast should only take place in the afternoon on a fast day, not even in the morning. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shesha Breit Rav Idi, Misayli Rav Huna. We can bring a support from this idea to Rav Huna's teaching. That what? The Amar Mitzafra Kinufe, who says that on the morning of a fast, the gathering of people to the shul commences. So basically, the gathering on the fast day really starts in the morning, and therefore, that's why, since the gathering of a fast really technically does start in the morning, that's why the prohibition of work starts in the morning as well. Okay, so putting that now aside, so now we know that the prohibition of work only comes during the day. We learn that from the holiday of Atzeres, and we only start during the morning and not at night and not in the afternoon because of all the back and forth of what the Gemara had to say. So it says the Gemara, Hechi Avdi. Now, with all that behind us, what did the day actually look like? Hechi Avdi, how did they do it all? From the beginning of the gathering to the end of the day, what did the fast actually look like? So Amar Abai, Mitzafra Ad Palga Diyoma, from the morning until the first half of the day. Ma'aininan b'mili d'masa. What would they do? It's a very interesting idea. They would, so Rashi says it the best. Drisha v'chakira livdok b'masem b'iske b'nei ha'ir. They would like spend the whole day going through the actions and the ongoings of the businesses of the people of the city. They would look into their finances is basically what it's saying. Im gazel, if they stole, and if they did something bad, they would make sure that they would get appeasement for their terrible actions. That's what the first half of the fast day was about. They would use the day to try to find make up for any of the negative financial stealings, whatever that people might have done. Mikan ve'elach, but from here on out, after the second half of once half of the fast is over, Riva Dioma, the third quarter of the fast, right? So in other words, if you imagine the fast day is broken up into four quarters, you have the two first quarters, which we call the first half, and that's was about this inspecting actions of people. So the third quarter now, Riva Dioma Karinan Besifra Vaftarta. So in this third quarter they would read from the Torah and they would say the Haftorah, etc. And then Mikan Ilech, and then from here on out, Be'inan Rachme, they would ask for divine mercy. That's what they would do. How do you know all this? Well, Shinamar, we have a pasuk that says this explicitly. That the pasuk says, and they stand in their place, and they read from the book of the Torah of Hashem, their God, one quarter of the day, and one quarter they confessed and prostrated themselves to Hashem, their God. So the pasuk basically says it explicitly how to divide up the day. Okay, the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph now. Ipuch Ana, maybe, says the Gemara, we should flip it. In other words, Rashi explains, maybe you should have the reading of the Torah and the reading of the Torah and the asking for mercy, have that in the beginning of the day. And in the second half of the day, you can have this like introspection into people's actions. How do you know that you keep it in that the order that we set it and we don't flip the order? Says the Gemara, Lo Sagadetach, don't think that for a second. How do you know? Tichteve Ili Yasu Kocherid B'divrei Elokei Yisrael Al Me Al Hagola. So one pasuk says, and to me gathered all who hastened at the words of God of Israel regarding the transgression of the exile. That's one pasuk. Okay, the Gomer, the Uchsiv, it says the next pasuk of Minchas Ha'erev Kamti Misanisi VeAfarsha Kifi El Hashem. That and at the time of the of the evening offering, I arose from my feet and I extended my palms to Hashem, essentially in prayer. In other words, the idea is that closer to the evening is when you would do the prayer, and that's why it should happen at the second half of the day. That's what the pasuk is teaching us. So keep the order that we gave originally, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Raphim Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista, Kol Shehu Nishum Avel could go in Tisha B'Av. So now we're going to have a long conversation that's going to take us to the back of the next page about washing oneself when they're in Avelis and washing oneself on a fast day, etc. Obviously related to the Mishnah that said when during these public fast days there was no washing allowed. So again, Amarav from Bar Papa, Amarav Chista, Kol Shehu Mishum Avel. Anytime that a person is not washing because of avelus kigon Tisha B'Av, like on Tisha B'Av the avel, an actual person who is in mourning, so aser bein becham and bein metzon, and this person can't wash themselves with hot water, nor can they wash themselves with cold water. Kol shehu mishum tano, but anytime a person is not washing themselves because of a pleasure, when does a person not wash themselves because of pleasure? Well, kigon tainas sibor, like on a public fast day. So in that situation, becham and aser is prohibited to use warm water to wash yourself, but when it comes to cold water, it is permissible to use yourself. Why? Well, like the answer is seemingly very clear, that if the prohibition is all about enjoyment, no one enjoys themselves if they're using cold water to wash themselves, and therefore, as a result, if it's just if it's just not allowed because of enjoyment purposes, if you're washing yourself with cold water where it's clearly not for enjoyment, therefore it would be permissible. So again, if you're not washing because of avelus, because of mourning, which is like an Tisha B'Av and for an actual mourner, then hot and cold water is prohibited. If you're not washing yourself because of enjoyment, like a public fast day, then cold water is permitted and hot water is prohibited. Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin Af Ananami Tanina V'Noal Nesemer Chatzos. So it says Rav Idi Bar Avin that this is exactly what we taught in our Mishnah, that we said that you lock up the bathhouses. So what does that mean, that this is exactly what we said in the Mishnah? How does locking up the bathhouses prove that cold water is prohibited, is permitted on a fast day, but hot water is prohibited? So the implication seems to be as follows, that in a bathhouse, you only would have hot water. And so they say lock up the bathhouses, which means lock up the people from bathing in hot water, but cold water seems to be totally okay. That seems to be what the teaching is saying, and that seems to be how you can learn this through the Mishnah. So again, on a public fast day, the idea is that cold water is permitted and hot water is prohibited. Amar le Abaye, Abaye says, v'ibit sonin asar sochdin, sorry, sochrenes anaharos, mibay le mitzni. So says Abaye, if this is really true, that cold water is Abaye says, are you really going to bring a proof from the Mishnah that it says that they close up the bathhouses, that this means that cold water is really permitted? He says, I don't understand. If cold water was prohibited, which, where do you get cold water from? You get it from the rivers, from the streams. So he says, if cold water was actually prohibited, would they say that you have to stop up the rivers? Right? Would that be what the Mishnah would have taught? Oh, ridiculous. Of course not. No one's going to expect you. It's easy to lock up the bathhouses, but no one's going to ever expect you to block up the rivers. So therefore, you can't bring a proof from the fact that the Mishnah says to lock up the bathhouses, that means that only hot water is prohibited and not cold water. Okay, that's what he has to say. Amar Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi, so a further teaching. Abba Hachi Kashali, he says, my father experienced difficulty with this Mishnah. Okay, so Michdi, let us see. Tanan, it taught in a Mishnah. If the Mishnah says that it's prohibited to wash, we know that it said that. It's obviously black and white in the Mishnah. This is our Mishnah. And then it also says that you have to lock up the bathhouses. Why do you have this double language? We asked this question when we first started. Why do you say it's prohibited to wash yourself, and then also we lock up the bathhouses? Isn't it the same thing? So what's the implication of all this? Rather, don't we see from here that Becham and Aser Besonin Mutter? We see from here it says his father, that the reason why the Mishnah says explicitly that we lock up the bathhouses is as a qualifier to the prohibition of washing ourselves. True, we cannot wash ourselves on a public fast day. Well, what kind of washing can't we do? Well, that's why we say you lock up the bathhouses, so that we now know you can't do the washing of bathhouses. You can't use hot water, but you could use cold water. So says his father, that's why the Mishnah says to lock up the bathhouses. So the truth is, it does actually teach us this idea that cold water is prohibited, is permitted, and only hot water is prohibited. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Lema Misayale. So let's bring up proof for this now. Ko Chayve Tvilos Tovlin Kedarkan Bein B'Tishabav Bein B'Yom HaKippurim. There's a teaching that says that anyone who is obligated to go to the mikveh to be tovel themselves can tovel kidarkan, like they can tovel like they regularly would, even on Tisha B'Av and even on Yom Kippur can a person tovel if they really need to be. So says the Gemara, B'mai, what is the case that we're talking about over here? Ilema b'chamen. If we are talking about hot water in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Tevila bechamin mi'ika. Do we really have hot water to tevila? That can't be. Why? Because any hot water, we're not talking about a seemingly a modern day mikvah, but in the olden day mikvahs, if you have a hot water mikvah, that must mean by definition that it's mayim she'uvin. Mayim she'uvin means like drawn water, and that is a not kosher mikvah. So if that's the case, if it's hot water, that means it's not a kosher mikvah, because it's a she'uvin water, and therefore it must be that the mikvah we're talking about is a cold, el alav bitzonin. It must be that we're talking about cold water. V'chayvei tvilos in, inish achrina lo, and we see from here that it's cold water, and people who are obligated to be tovel, they can go to the cold water mikvah, but every other person is not allowed to go into the cold water. So it seems like from this teaching that on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur in general, you would understand that even washing yourself in cold water is totally prohibited, and it's only permissible for the people who need to be tovel. So this seems like a perfect proof to what Rav Chisda said. Again, Rav Chisda said that on Tisha B'Av, a person can't go in cold or hot water, and over here, this is exactly what this is saying. A person can't even go in cold water. Obviously, if he can't go in cold, then he can't go in hot. So says the Gemara, this is teaching that a person can't go in cold water on Tisha B'Av, so this is unless it's for tevila purposes, and therefore this is a perfect proof for Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chana bar Katina, lo nitzrocha ele l'chamei Tveria. Says, no, not so fast. It's actually not such a good proof for that idea. Why? Because maybe this teaching was actually talking about the Chamei Tveria, the hot spring waters of Tveria, in which you actually do could have a kosher mikvah. That's hot water. Excuse me. Ihachi. So in other words, so how would the teaching therefore work then? So that means we are saying that a person is allowed to be tovel in hot water for these needs, and therefore there's no implication that it's that cold water is prohibited for a regular person from this. Ihachi, if this is so, ema seifa, take a look at the seifa. If you're really going to read it like that, then that can't be. Why? Because Amar Rabbi Chanina skana kohanim, because Rabbi Chanina, the assistant of the kohanim, says kedei hu beis elokeinu le'abid alav tevila pam achas b'shana ve'iamart b'tzonin mutar yirchat b'tzonin. He says that the house of our God is worthwhile for us to lose because of it a timely immersion once a year. So essentially what this teaching is that based on what his comment is, based on Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim's comment, is that now we see that if the tevila would not be permissible over here, then you essentially would lose your ability to be tovel. And basically, what the implication over here is that it must be that we're talking therefore about cold water, because about a cold water case and not a hot water case, because if we were talking about a hot water case, then how would the mission, how would this teaching be implying that? Because all the teaching says is that you can't go in the hot water, right? But you could, according to every understanding, then you'd be able to go in the cold water. Rather, what Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim is saying over here is that it's so great to mourn over our Beis HaMikdash that it would be even worthwhile to lose the opportunity to go to the mikvah, which means that the chiddush of this teaching is that you can actually go to a cold water mikvah, and you can actually go to a cold water mikvah. So again, so we're back to square one by saying that this is a good proof for Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Papa be'asra delo shchiach tzonin. So says Rav Papa, no, I can make sense of this all by saying that still this is not a good proof for Rav Chisda, that still we're talking about a hot water situation and not a cold water situation. How? Because of the fact that we're talking about a strictly hot water mikvah over here, and it's where they don't have cold water. So therefore, it is a hot water mikvah, and that is the last resort scenario, because there's no cold water available. It's just a weird place. There's no cold water available there. Okay. Good. With that, let's go further. Tashma, come in here. Kisha Amru Asar B'Malacha Lo Amru Ela B'Yom Aval B'Layla Mutter. So, okay, I'm getting a thing that says we're running out of time. So again, if we run out of time, then we'll just pick up again where we left off. Okay, so again, where were we? Tashma, come in here. Kisha Amru, when they say Asur B'Malacha, that it's prohibited to do work on a public fast day, Lo Amru Ela B'Yom Aval B'Layla Mutter. They said that regarding the day, that you can't work during the day, but at night you can work. Kisha Amru Asur B'Nilas Asanza, Lo Amru Ela B'Yir Aval B'Derech Mutter. But when it comes, and also with the prohibition of wearing shoes, so it's prohibited to wear shoes in the city, but when you're going on the way, if you need to take a journey somewhere, you can wear shoes. So on the Derech, it's Mutter. Haki, so how does this work? Yotzi La Derech Noel, so when you go out on the way, you can wear shoes. Nechlas Leir, you go into the city, Cholit, to take off your shoes. Kisha Amru Aser Berachitza, Lo Amru Ela. Ella kol gufo aval panav yadav raglav mutter. And then this teaching says that when they say that it's prohibited to wash yourself, it's only prohibited to wash yourself on a public fast day if it's your entire body. But when it comes to washing your hands, your feet, and your face, it's permitted to wash those parts of your body. So says the Gemara, okay, so now that we have that teaching, so what kind of water are we talking about? Are we talking about hot water, or are we talking about cold water? If you remember, on a public fast day, cold water is permitted, but hot water is prohibited. So says the Gemara, V'chin asa, V'chin atam motzei b'menude uva avel. And so says the Gemara that these rules that we just said, not only do they apply to this fast day, but they also apply to the person who's a menude, who's excommunicated, and for a person who is in avelus. So what case are we talking about over here? What kind of water? Halachos are we connecting to the person who's excommunicated and the avel from the person who is fasting? Lava kuhu, are we not connecting all of the laws? Ubamaya skinan, and what kind of water are we saying over here that a person is prohibited to wash themselves with except for those three parts of your body, your hands, your feet, and your face? Ilema bechamin, panav yadav raglav misharu. Okay, so we say if we're talking about hot water, well, that can't be. How do we know it can't be? Because of Amar Rav Sheshes, Avil Asr Lahushit, it's Ba'u Bechamin. The Rav Sheshes has an important teaching that he says that a person who is in mourning can't even wash his little finger with hot water. So it can't be that we're talking about hot water in this teaching, saying that an avel is allowed to wash their face, their hands, and their feet with hot water. That can't be, because they can't even put their finger in hot water. Re'ela lav bitsonin. Rather, is it not clear that we're talking about cold water over here? And therefore, cold water is what is the teaching. So says the Gemara, lo, li'olam bechamin. Right? No, actually, we're talking about hot water in this teaching, that cold water, by definition, is permissible, and hot water is prohibited except for these three parts of your body. The dekakash lecha, and this that you find that's difficult. V'chinata motzi b'menuda uva avel asha'arakai. So the complicated aspect of that teaching is the comparison to an avel, right? If we're talking about hot water, where we see that these three parts of the body can be washed with hot water, and that doesn't only apply to a person on a public fast day, but that also applies to a person who's in excommunication and who is in avelus, who is in mourning. Well, that can't be. So because we said that would go against the idea that Rav Sheshes had, that an avel can't wash even his little finger with hot water. So says the Gemara, very simple. Just say that when we compare the laws of the public fast day to the laws of the mourner and the person who is excommunicated, just say very, very simply we meant to compare all the laws except for this final law, and therefore everything could work out very well. And this teaching again is saying that hot water is permitted for those three parts of the body, and cold water is totally permitted for a person who's experiencing a public fast day. Tashma, another proof that the Gemara tries to bring. Dama Rabbi Abba HaKoin Mishum Rabbi Yossi HaKoin. Masa, we have the following story that took place. Umesu Banav Shel Rabbi Yossi Ben Rabbi Chanina, that the sons of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chanina, passed away. And he washed himself with cold water throughout all of Shiva. So that doesn't make any sense, right? We said before that both hot and cold water is prohibited during Shiva. So how could it be that he washed himself with cold water during the Shiva? So we say, Hasam Kishetek. Hasam Kishetechafuhu Avelav Hava. There, the reason why he was able to wash himself with cold water is because of the fact that there was like an immediate succession. Unfortunately, he lost two sons. He lost one son, and then immediately after, he lost the second son. So essentially, instead of having 7 days of Avelis, he had what seems to be 14 days of Avelis. So in that second set of seven, he was allowed to wash himself with cold water every single day of the week at that point. But again, in general, it would be prohibited to wash yourself with cold water, but over here, it was permissible because of this unique situation. The Tanya, that we have a proof to this, that's taught in a Braisa, Techafu Avilav Zeacharzeh, that if a person has two sets of Avelis, two weeks of Avelis, 7 plus 7, right after the other, Hichbid Saro Mekil Bitar, if a person's hair gets heavy, he can cut it with a razor, Mechabes Kisuso B'mayim, and he can launder his clothes in water, and Amar of Chista Bitar Avalo B'mesparayim, you can use a razor but not scissors to cut your hair, B'mayim, you can launder your clothes in water, below B'nasar, below B'chol, and you can't use what's called like natron, it's some sort of like a natural element that they used to do laundry, and you can't use sand, so that's what you can use, water but not natron or sand. Amar Rava Aval Mutzer L'Rechutz B'tsonin Kol Shiva Midi Dahava Abisra V'chamra. So now Rava comes with this very out of the box statement. He says an avel is permissible for them to wash themselves with cold water all 7 days, which again that seems to be going against the teaching from above that says that you can't use cold water. And not only that, Midi Dahava Abisra V'chamra, that this is comparable, it's just like the same thing when it comes to eating meat and drinking wine. We know that an avel can eat meat and drink wine, but so says Rava, not only could they eat meat and drink wine, but they can also wash themselves with some cold water. That is permissible. Meisvei says the Gemara, and they're on the back of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So now we have a challenge to this. The Gemara says, So we're gonna have two types of cases over here: a bogeres and a naar and a naara. A bogeres is someone who is 12 and a half years old, a girl who's 12 and a half years old, and a naara is a girl who's 12 years old. There's basically just a 6 month difference between them. So, but the other background you need to be aware of is that a naara, that's like the perfect age to get married. From as far as the Gemara is, again, this is not our time, it's not talking about the year 2020. But in the times of the Gemara, a girl who's 12 years old, that's the perfect time to get married in that 6 month period, and once she becomes a bogeris, once she's already 12 and a half, that's already like past her time. Like, we really want her to get married if she is not married at that point. So, says the Gemara, Ein ha-bogeris reshal l'navel asatzma, that a bogeris is not allowed to make herself disgusting. Bimei avel aviha. It's a little bit unclear what we're talking about over here, but we'll go with the basic understanding, I think, or at least one perspective of Rashi, and that is that if she's sitting Shiva for her father, so she is not allowed to make herself disgusting. Hana'ara, we'll see what that means in a second. Hana'ara, when it comes to a na'ara, this girl who's 12 years old, Rasha, she is allowed to make herself disgusting. Mai, what do you mean make yourself disgusting? La berechitza, are we not talking about rechitza over here? That washing yourself is what a bogeres is allowed to wash themselves, or I guess should wash themselves, because they are not allowed to make themselves look disgusting because they are at marriageable age. You'll never know who's going to pay a shiva call and who you want to make sure they look good for. So you have to make sure that they keep themselves clean during shiva. So a bogeres, this 12 and a half year old girl, should make sure she's clean, whereas a na'ara is permitted she's permitted to follow all the rules and not wash herself. Ubimai, and what does she wash herself with? So ilim abechamen in a bogeres risha. If you want to say that when it comes to this bogeres, that she's not allowed to use hot water. Ilema bechamin in a bogeres risha. The amar of chista. If you want to say that we're talking about hot water that she's going to use, it can't be, because we know we have a teaching of Rav Chista that says, again, like we had on the previous Amud, that an Avil can't even use can't even put their finger in hot water, let alone, for sure, she can't wash her whole body in hot water. Right? Does this whole teaching not show us that for sure she is allowed to only wash herself in cold water? So says the Gemara, lo. Akichul upirchas. What this whole teach... So therefore, stop before the low. So what this teaching is saying is that this sounds a lot like who? Like the teaching of Rava, that a bogeris is clearly allowed... This is a challenge to what Rava said. Rava said that you can use cold water, whereas this teaching over here is saying that a bogeris can use cold water, but in general it's prohibited, which would seem to go against what he's saying. So says the Gemara, it's not a contradiction to what Rava said. Akicho upirchos. What are we saying that she's allowed to do? Well, she's allowed to like paint her eyelids and she's allowed to braid her hair to make herself look a little bit nice. That's in general prohibited for a person who's in a velus, but for her we say it is permissible. So lema misayle. So let us say that we can use this as a support. Damar Rabbi Abba. I see we're going to lose this in a second, but again, just click on the link. Okay. I don't know how you guys get back so fast. All right, okay, so let's keep going. So again, so we just had this teaching of Rava. So Rava said on the bottom of the previous page that a person is prohibited, a person is allowed to use cold water to wash themselves on the fast day. And now we just said over here that a bogeris, we make a special rule that we see she could wash herself with cold water. Let's take a step back. Rava gave this teaching that a person who is an avelus is allowed to use cold water to wash themselves. And now we just had the case of a bogeris, and we said that a bogeris is, we give her a special dispensation. She is allowed to wash herself with cold water, but the implication is that in general, you cannot wash yourself with cold water if you're an avelus. So that goes against what Rava taught, but says the Gemara, no, Rava will just tell you that this case that we're saying that she's allowed to break certain rules, that's talking about putting on some makeup, braiding her hair, that is permissible. But when it comes to washing yourself, even that would not be allowed. And so therefore you can't learn anything about washing from this, and it would seem like that this is not a disproof to him at all, because it's not talking about washing at all. So says the Gemara, Lema Misayale, let us bring a proof for him. Damar Rabbi Abba HaKoin Mishum Rabbi Yossi HaKoin. Masa, the same story that we just gave a few lines ago. Masa Umesu Banav Shal Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, that the sons of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina died. Verachatz Bitsoni Koshev, and he washed himself with water all 7 days. Ah, this is a perfect proof of what Rava said. Rava said you could wash yourself with cold water. This must be a perfect proof for him. Amre Hasam, no. It's not a good proof. Why? This is a special case over here because he had two back-to-back Shiva cases, and therefore he only washed himself, you could understand this as saying that he only washed himself on the second set of 7 days, and therefore this is with cold water, and therefore this is not a proof for Rabbah to say that a person who is an Avelis can use cold water always. That we have the same Brisa from the previous page, that a person who has back-to-back avelus, he has to if his hair gets heavy, he can cut it with a razor. If he needs to do laundry, he can do laundry in water. Amar of chista, betara, aval lobim mesparim, you can use a razor, but you can't use scissors to cut your hair. And it's like an extended version of what we just said on the previous page. You can use water for laundry, but you can't use nasar, chol, or ahal. Again, nasar, ahal seem to be some sort of laundry elements they used to use, and chol is sand, so you can't use those things, but you can use water. So that's one way of looking at the teaching with Rava, and then can we support him or can we not support him? That was the back and forth. Ika de Amri, there's another whole way that this entire thing was recorded. That Amar Rava Avil Asur Betzonim Kol Shiva. That Rava says that it's prohibited for a person who is in Shiva to use cold water to wash themselves, and says the Gemara Maish. In other words, that's the exact opposite as he was recorded on the previous page. My shnami baser v'yayin, and so now we have the question: why is this different than baser and wine? Hakam, when it comes to wine and meat, an avil is allowed to eat those things, but when it comes to washing himself with cold water, he's not allowed to do those things. Hasam, why is it allowed to eat meat and wine, but you can't wash yourself with cold water? Lefachuche pechida hu David, because he does those things, he eats meat and drinks wine to get him to relieve some anxiety. He's very stressed out. He just lost someone, so he's allowed to do that. But when it comes to washing yourself with cold water, that is not allowed, because I guess that would not help. Evidently, lema misayle. So let us say we can bring a proof to this. How could you bring a proof? Ina bogeris rasha l'navel atzma ha'nara rasha. We have the same teaching that we just said above, that a bogeris is allowed to make themselves that a bogaris is not permitted to let themselves look bad during Shiva, but a na'ara, a 12-year-old girl, is allowed. Bimai, what kind of water are we talking about over here? Ilima bechamin ein habogaris v'sha'a. Ha'amar Rav Chista avel asor lehoshi de'espel bechamin. It can't be hot water, because you can't even put a little finger in hot water. Elalab etzonin, it must be we're talking about cold water. And therefore, what? It must be we're talking about cold water, and again, the implication is that cold water is generally prohibited. It's permissible for the bogaris, but in general, it's prohibited, which now supports this new version of Rava's statement saying that water, cold water, is prohibited. And so it says the Gemara, lo, akichul opirchos. Really, what we're talking about over here is painting the eyelids and braiding the hair. That's what's permissible for her to do, but we're not talking anything about washing ourselves. Amar Rav Chista, zos omer. So Rav Chista says that this says, avel asor b'techboses kol shiva. That this teaching that shows us that this girl is allowed to paint her eyes and she's allowed to braid her hair, this shows us that in general it would be prohibited to do those things for a person in Avelus, unless you're a bogaris who isn't married. And this therefore shows us that you can't do laundry during the Shiva period. Why? Because laundry is also about making yourself look good. So in general, we say that a bogaris can do those special things like braiding her hair and putting on some makeup to make herself look good. But in general, you can't do that if you're in a velus. So it must mean that also doing laundry, which in general is to make yourself look a little bit better, you can't do that during Shiva because, again, you generally can't do the other things like painting your eyes or braiding your hair. So therefore, you shouldn't be able to do laundry as well. Again, in a regular case. Not the bogaris case, but in a regular case. And so what's, okay, after that whole back and forth, what's the halacha? Avel asor lerchutz kol gufo bein bechamin bein metzonin. That a person who's an avelus, at the end of the day, we pass on like Rav Chista, and like this second teaching of Rava, that a person who's an avelus can't wash themselves with hot or cold water, kol shiva all 7 days, aval panav yadav raglav bechamin asor. But when it comes to their hands, their feet, and their face, when hot water would be prohibited, betzonin mutter, but cold water is permissible. Okay, aval lesoch afilu kol shu asor. When it comes to anointing yourself with oil, even a little bit would be totally prohibited. But let's say you smell really bad, right? You have like a person who's in a velus in the hot of the summer, and like the hottest, you know, in like Florida, and like he doesn't have air conditioning. What are you going to do? This guy's going to stink to high heaven. Can't allow for that. So if that's the situation, so it's to take away some sweat and make him smell a little bit okay, mutter. Then it's permissible in such a situation. Okay, so with that, we're going to stop right here, and God willing, next time we'll continue, pick up here, and we'll do the rest of the Adalid, and hopefully there's a chance we can even finish the parak next time, if not next time and the time after. But okay, with that, we'll stop right here, and everyone should have a great night.